Assault.
As the Zold Amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
What is this today here? April 27th, 2017. The Lord ain't making another note. I didn't pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we just pray that you would anoint our lips, that the words of our mouth, meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, and that you will set the captives free, because your word says that you'll guide us into all truth, and that we shall know the truth, and the truth, if we know, it's going to set us free. So we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Boy, things been kind of harried here in the Dobenmeyer house this morning. My wife's mother passed away last night. Got a call about 4:15, I think it was. Annie's had Alzheimer's for probably 20 years. She's been fighting it. She's been really, really, most of you know who've dealt with this know that Alzheimer's in its later state is just, that's going to be one of the things I'm going to sit on the Lord's lap and say, man, what was that all about, Lord? What's this Alzheimer's thing about? And to see how, you know, she must have been a fighter, man. She wouldn't let go. And she did last night, 93 years old. Irony of ironies, it's our daughter, our granddaughter Macy's second birthday today. So great-grandma died on Macy's birthday. That'll certainly be something that we'll be able to connect the rest of Macy's life. Wife's doing well. Doing well in that, you know, JR said it earlier before I came on the air. It's kind of bittersweet. You don't want to see, you know, you never rejoice over death, but thank God she's not trapped in that body anymore. And just the burden on the family and poor Michelle to have to carry that burden of her mother. And I know some of you are going through it out there. Some of you may be getting ready to it. And, you know, one of the things that I really, really struggled with, that's not true. Struggle is not the right word. I've thought about many times over the last few years is this whole, what do they call it? Assisted suicide, euthanasia. I watched Grandma Annie over the last, 3 years. She hasn't been, she's just been there. She just laid there. They'd feed her, but no communication. And you understand how people who don't have any faith at all would think, wow, this is nothing but a big waste of time and waste of money. And Terry Schiavo started that whole thing, if you remember that. I was on the ground for that Terry Schiavo event back in 2005. In fact, that happened just 7 days after my father had passed. And the idea to the lost world now, to the lost world, you know, life, death, hell, heaven, they think about it, but they just kind of think casually about those things, you know. And so the Terry Schiavo thing, I don't suppose Terry Schiavo's family were Christians. And so her husband said, hey, she said one time she didn't want to live like that. And, you know, from a natural standpoint, as you look at, of course, who would want to live like that? Who would want to live like that? And so it'd be many a times I'd walk over and I'd visit Grandma Annie just laying there and say, who would want to live like that? And so you understand from a natural world, from a natural point of view, why we struggle so much. See, death, all the scripture says, all those who hate me love death. Now, that doesn't mean you actually love it, but it means that you embrace it. You embrace death in a different way than those of us who are born again of the Spirit of God. We red pill people. We see this whole thing differently. And I've watched this over the last 3 years and see why people would be for euthanasia or would be for, what do they call, assisted suicide. I'm not promoting it. I see where that blue pill takes you when you begin to think about that. But I've noticed that death is a process just like birth is. You know, death for some of us comes instantaneously. It comes. For others, it takes longer. I know Pastor Wayne's just gone through it with his mother-in-law as well. And I would go in there many times, and I would just share my heart with you here this morning. And I would, you know, talk to Annie and pray for Annie. What do you pray? Do you pray someone would die? Think about that. Do you pray they would die? What is it that you pray in a situation like that? And I think this whole death process teaches us a great humility, not only for the person that's dying, to think about the reality of it today. When I walked in the room today and touched her, and she was body, what do they say, room temperature. She was dead. The reality in her life that she was leaving this world, man, that ain't something to mess around with, is it? The death of somebody else you can kind of deal with, because it ain't you. So we sit here and say, well, Annie's passed on. Yeah, what does that mean? To Annie, not to me, and not to Michelle, not to the family. We suffer, call it a loss, whatever you want to, but a mixed emotion loss. But think how many people that you're going to come in contact today with, they're going to die. They're going to die. We're all going to die. And this natural world makes us kind of aware of that. But do we really, really get it? Do we really, does anybody ever really think they're going to die? And why are we so cavalier about death and say, well, you know, Annie's in a better place now? We don't know that. We don't really understand what death is. Prepare a show later on death. We've talked about that a little bit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, if you're the Lord's. What is death like for those who don't know Jesus? And at what point can we still pray for those people who don't know Jesus? At what point, when they're in the nursing home or they're in the hospital and they're not conscious, does that spirit inside of you, does that spirit-soul connection, even though your body's not functioning, I've often wondered when I would go in and visit Annie, is it possible? So she's trapped inside that. She hears every word, understands every emotion, has no way at all to be able to express herself. And she's been laying in that body for 3 years, and her mind be alert with the inability to communicate it? I don't know. I don't know. And so from our standpoint, those of us who deal with death, as we're going to deal with it this weekend, tends to be a selfish point of view, doesn't it? It really does. Because we can't bring Annie back. And it really does matter what Annie's relationship with the Lord and where she is. That all really does matter. And we don't know that. But see, to the lost world, if you really to pin them down and ask them what death is, they could probably tell you. If you ask them if they were going to go to heaven or hell, they probably couldn't tell you. It would be a hope. Well, I hope I do. I think I'm a good person. And the reality of seeing her slide down into that hole that her mind and that her spirit went into, that hole that she's lived in for 3 years, understand what's going on in there. Is she in communication with the other world? See, that was one of my big, I'll get off in a second. Hang on here. I think this is something for all of us to think through. That was my big gripe with Terry Schiavo. When we tried to take her water, and it's one of the times I was arrested trying to take Terry Schiavo water. And we would hear people say, church people would say this, you know, well, I wouldn't want to live like that. Well, of course not. If you're comparing living like that as to living like this, why would anybody choose to live like that? Of course not. But you know what? I ain't never been like that. I've never been in that state. Who am I to judge? Isn't that what they tell us? Who are you to judge? And the reality that we have to deal with, and all of us need to probably be more vigilant about, is those people that are around us, what happens to them when that clock runs out? What happens? Heaven, hell? Where are they gone? Death is a process. It was for Annie. Where's Annie now? God only knows. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Like Beach Boys, God only knows. God only knows. Where is Annie? We gave her the gospel. We shared the gospel with her. She was raised Catholic to the very end. But see, even at that very end, I prayed a prayer with her Easter Sunday. And even in her inner being said, Annie, you know, have you confessed Jesus as your Savior? No, you've been in church. Have you confessed her as your Savior? And you can do that right now. If you can hear me, Annie, you can cry out to the Lord for forgiveness. You can do that right now. Did she? I don't know. Death's an amazing thing, isn't it? I want to go back to Ecclesiastes real quick, just real quickly, because it popped into my brain. Jared, I think it's Ecclesiastes 7. Let me jump back in. I always have a hard time finding Ecclesiastes. Somebody can jump in here if you want to. I'm not having a pity party, and Michelle's not having a pity party. My daughter, son-in-law, and the grandkids are upstairs. I can hear them pounding. So they're doing okay here this morning. I'm not trying to get a lot of sorrow, sympathy out of you guys. I'm just trying to walk through here. Yeah, there it is. There it is, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1. Hey, Rich, this is real. Hey, Sarge, look what this says. Verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death better than the day of one's birth. Holy smokes. Do we believe that? Do we? What do you think, JR? You believe in that one there, that the day you die is better than the day you're born? How you take that one in? Man, oh, man, oh, man. Just the reality of it. So we rejoice today that little Macy's 2 years old, and we can rejoice that Annie's out of that body and that we have little Macy in her place, and it's all good. So sorry about that personal rant there, but just thought I'd throw that thing out there. I'm trying to see what Kevin wrote over here. Is that something else? Okay. Anybody? You don't have to come in and tell me how sorry you are. That's okay. I understand. It's just something that we say to one another, and we mean it. And we know that you care. World's on fire. Culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt, man. What a crazy, crazy time to be alive. I came in, the last few days, I don't know what's happened, Sarah. I don't know what's happened here, guys. This has turned into almost like a school of theology, you know? When I got going with this show, this wasn't what I thought it was what I was going to do with it, because I'm not a theologian. But this is so great, because it's like we're diving into a vast. Do you guys ever go snorkeling? I mean, really snorkeling. I'm not talking about in the swimming pool. I'm talking about go out on the reefs out of Key West or out in the Bahamas and go down and put those goggles on, and you get underwater and you see all these animals that you just can't even believe, man. Wow. It's something if you've never done it. I remember the first time I did it, I almost gasped and swallowed the seawater. I couldn't believe what I saw underneath the water there, That's what I'm finding in the Bible. I mean, I'm not doing it on purpose. It's like me, you know, scripture says precept upon precept, line upon line. And some of the things that I've been bringing to the table is just, I can't get away. I'm asking myself questions on these things, okay? I can't get away from these things. That's so much, I want to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. Anybody there with me? I say, I don't want to believe something just because somebody told me it. I want to believe something because I have assurance through the Holy Spirit that what I'm being taught is the truth. I got a couple emails yesterday. I talked about the Holy Communion and got some very really well thought through emails yesterday. And I want you guys to know that I'm not trying to make fun of it, of traditions. I'm not trying to make fun of baptism or a communion or, I mean, I think about my Catholic upbringing, all the religious stuff that we did in church. Holy smokes. And all I'm asking, all I'm trying to get us to do today is, very simply, let's simplify things here. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death, if where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I just have a tendency to want to ask, if there's liberty where Jesus is, why is there so much bondage in our churches? Are you with me on that, guys? Why are there so many? If there's liberty in Jesus, why are there so many rules and regulations that we've been taught to obey and observe in our churches? And again, I'm not poking fun of it. I'm asking the question. I'm just asking the question. And I can read the Bible. I can read where they did the first communion, where Jesus broke bread and giving the disciples said, take and eat. This is my body given to you for the remissions of sin. And then he gave him the cup of blood, says, here's the cup of my blood, the new and everlasting covenant. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. I get that. I get that. The only question I asked yesterday is, how did that become communion? How did that become a religious thing that we do in church? Not criticizing it, wondering, how did this come about? So I did some Googling yesterday and got some emails yesterday. Anybody with me in this curiosity at all? I'm not alone in this, am I? Huh? This stuff, because the deeper I go, the deeper my faith becomes. The deeper I go. And I believe that if we are really born again of the Spirit of God, that we ought to walk in liberty, not in bondage. Not in bondage. We read that yesterday in Galatians. We read that. Well, no, Colossians we read yesterday, right? And he was warning us about all these rules and regulations that they were going to throw on top of us. So that's the vein we're kind of rolling in here. And I want to touch another one here today. I'm going to salt you up here real quick, and then I'm going to go to something else, and then I'm going to come back to it. I get more emails about this one thing than anything we do here on the queue. God loves everybody. I get more pushback on that than anything that I talk about. Now, I believe that's programming. We're going to talk about that here in a second. We're going to talk about, does God love everybody? We're going to talk about that. But that's a great, great hurdle and great obstacle to us here in Christianity and to where we are. And why I think why we are so far behind, at least here in the cultural battle, because if we love everybody, if God loves everybody, then we're not going to judge anybody. He's not going to judge anybody, and we're not going to judge anybody. Wait a minute, that's not even true. They say, well, God's the judge. Who are you to judge? That's God's job. Yeah, and I'm trying to warn you that you're going to be judged. I'm trying to warn you of that. But in the American Christian church, there's no judgment. There's none at all. Come as you are, be however you want to. Jesus loves everybody. And I'm just talking now from a human sense. That don't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense. Are you to tell me that Jesus loves those Muslim suicide bombers that go in and blow people up? Jesus loves them? What? That Jesus loves those who spit in his face? Those who mock his death, burial, and resurrection? He loves them? Now, his love's available, but loves them? Larry, what do you think? What do you think, Larry?
I think it's really clear when you read the word for what it says. Jesus wants to bring everybody into a position where he can love them.
Yes, yes. But apart from Christ, the wrath of God abides on them. I don't understand why this is so hard. I'm going to get into it here a little bit in a minute, but not right yet. I got a couple other things I want to share with you. Anybody got anything you want to jump in here and say anything about? Hey, Jared, go to my Facebook page real quickly. Go to my Facebook feed. I got one. It just popped up here on my Facebook. You know how they give you a reminder? This was 2 years ago. You guys ever get that on your Facebook page? Here's where you were 2 years ago. And see if you can pull that up there. It's kind of cool. Maybe it's not on. Maybe it's just on. It should be on my Facebook page. What do you got there, Jared? No, not my Facebook page. Just Google my name in there and see if it does it. I can show you. It doesn't matter. It's a picture of my newborn granddaughter 2 years ago today. Annie, as Ronald Reagan said, Annie has left the surly bonds of earth to touch the face of God. And here on my Facebook page is a reminder 2 years ago that little creature came into the world. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Cool. Any comments there, guys? Girls?
Whoever? Coach, when I think about love, I always bring into my own children or my grandchildren, if I had grandchildren, my grandchildren.
Right.
And at what point would I stop loving them?
Well, you never would.
That's right. So when you get to the love thing, you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, JR, okay. but at what point would you stop loving Larry's grandkids?
Well, everybody's got children, right?
Right. And so that's the point. God loves JR? God loves his children.
I think Larry wants to say something.
Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah. Coach just hit it. God loves his children. There's about five places in the Bible where it says God loves, present tense. Every one of those places, it clearly identifies a specific narrow group of people.
It does. Larry, we know this, right? Broad and narrow. I hate to keep coming back to that, right? Broad. Many and few. Few who find it.
But as to your point, JR, about your children, you may have children who haven't come into the family of God yet, who have not surrendered control of their lives to Jesus Christ yet. Now, here is where the definition of love, you as a father, as a parent, are going to have an expression or a feeling of protection and all kinds of things towards those children. However, the love that is in your heart that God commands goes to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That
the
love
Lord,
is reserved.
The Lord your God.
Yeah, all of that kind of love is reserved for the Lord your God, who happens to also include your true brothers and sisters in Christ, because they're the body of the Lord. But that's where the love goes. If you save any love back of that kind of love, if you save any of that back to go throwing at the world, you're disobeying God, and I believe you're grieving him.
Amen. Well, we're going to get into that. I kind of stumbled into it before I wanted to get there. I want to show you a couple of things I thought were kind of neat in the news, and then I'm going to unwrap something here for you today. Jared, pull up that article on Ted Cruz. I thought this is one of the most unbelievably smart things that we've seen. You know, Trump's wavering on building the border and all that kind of stuff. Hey, listen, come on. Let's think about this a minute. Is our government to love the illegal immigrants the way he's to love natural-born American citizens? Anybody have a take on that? Is our government obligated to treat criminal aliens the same way he creates natural-born American taxpayers? Should those be treated the same by the government? Anybody have a comment on that?
My answer is no. I've already got in trouble once this morning.
but see, that's the ad. See, they make us use God's love when they want it, when it's to their advantage, right? So those who want to destroy America by flooding the nation with all of these people from a different culture, they don't even believe what we believe, they would say, well, God tells us to love everybody. Love everybody. We have to open up our doors and love everybody. Well, that would work, I suppose, if we were a Christian nation, but we're not a Christian nation. And do they have the right to take money from me to pay for some guy that came over the border illegally? Do they have the right to do that? See, it's the same thing in my mind. This might be a stretch. It's the same thing as taking God's love and giving it to an alien. I think those two things are in some way compared, see? So here, Cruz is unbelievable. You know, Trump said he's not going to build the wall, or he's not going to fund the wall till later on or whatever. And how about what Ted Cruz said? This is unbelievable. Ted Cruz says, well, let's just take all the money that El Chapo, they've seized over 50. El Chapo is the kingpin drug dealer down in Mexico. El Chapo. Our government has seized $15 billion from El Chapo, and Ted Cruz introduces into Congress a bill saying, let's take his money and build the wall. What an idea, man. What an idea. Let's take El Chapo's money and build the stinking wall. But we know it's not about the wall, is it? It isn't about that. No, it's about, again, the flooding of America with people who are not Americans and don't share our culture, come back again to the destruction of Western civilization. That's what I think is going on. What do you think about that, guys, at El Chapo, huh? Good idea.
Then, love it.
Yeah, yeah. And we know this. Hey, I don't care what it costs. We ain't got the money to do it. And if some company out there is dumb enough to loan to take government money to build a fence, let them do it. Money is meaningless, basically. Barack Obama, during the 8 years of Barack Obama, the debt doubled. We owe twice as much today as we owed 8 years ago. And so what's the big deal about the debt? Why is it that we're only worried about the debt when it comes to building a fence? But they're not worried about the debt when it comes to feeding all these people that are coming over. They're not worried about the debt then. We're being played for fools, aren't we, guys? For sure. Okay, then another one. Sarah brought this up. Jared, see if you can pull this one up. This shows where we're – oh, yeah. Jared's got the debt clock up there. This one – Jared, this is just a real quick little video. It's only about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. It's Richie from Boston. I don't know if you guys know Richie from Boston. We've played him before. But we're finding out now. Remember, sin is progressive, okay? You look at pornography. You look at a Playboy magazine. I'm talking from experience now. As a 16 or 17-year-old kid, you look at a Playboy magazine that was showed only from the waist up. And from the moment you saw one of those Playboy magazines, you wanted to see more. You not only wanted to see more upper bodies, you wanted to see more below the waist. And it wasn't very long until Playboy, Penthouse, gave you. They teased you a little bit. It didn't happen all at once. Then all of a sudden they were giving you all of that. And then after you see the top and the bottom, then you want to see it in action. Sin is always progressive like that, see? It's always progressive. And so we live in a culture and a society today where, hey, guys, if they'll kill Terry Schiavo, who's sick, which is, by the way, why I went down to Pinellas County, Florida, I had taught handicapped children. I had taught those kids that were unresponsive, they had autism, you look in their eyes and they didn't respond. I spent time, there was a person inside there. There's a person inside there. Whether they were able to verbally communicate it or not, they were. But Terry Schiavo comes along, and she can't really communicate other than with her eyes a little bit. And they said, well, she doesn't want to live like that. And so the churches, they don't stand up and fight it. They don't fight killing Terry Schiavo. And so then Terry Schiavo gets killed, and we get closer to euthanasia. Well, why would that be a surprise to us? Because on the other end of it, we're killing the little babies in the womb before they ever get out. So if we don't have natural affection, if we are ruthless enough to kill a baby in the womb and ruthless enough to kill a person lying in a bed that cannot defend themselves, if we as Americans have reached the point that neither end of that spectrum, the beginning of life or the end of life, if it has no meaning to us, then brothers and sisters, man, next thing you know, they'll be selling the body parts. They'll be making money off of the body parts, right? See, sin never stops. Apart from Christ, it can't. So Richie from Boston made this video. And again, I'm showing you this video to show what we're dealing with, where everything is heading. They are now satanic sacrifice, Richie entitled this, the killing of newborn babies out in the open. Sarah alluded to this last couple days ago, and I saw it a couple days ago. Richie from Boston, he's a little edgy, but just watch this 4 minute video. Go ahead, Jerry.
I totally forgot to include this in the last video, so now I have to upload this video. Do you see all these videos that I've put up over the last several months to a year ago? Temple of Baal, Arch of Baal, blah, blah, blah. Well, do you know what that is? You should if you follow my channel, but let me break it down. The Satanists, the people that run everything, that bow and worship to ISIS, Horus, Satan, Beelzebub, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him. There's many names for one person in particular. Okay? The reason they're putting up all these Temple of Baal archways or the entrance to the Temple of Baal is they used to go around and they would offer up their children. That's what they do. That's satanic worship. That's exactly what they do. That is what they do. I don't know what else to tell you. I warned about this. A lot of channels warned about this. This is where we're at right now. Watch this. This is not the headlines on a conspiratorial YouTube website, YouTube channel, whatever you want to call it. This is the front page of the Telegraph in the health news. It's happened. Time's up. Don't know what else to tell you. Killing babies is no different from abortion, experts say.
Paul,
parents should be allowed to have.
I've been saying that forever, right? We've been saying that forever. Killing an unborn baby is no different than killing a born baby. There is no difference. The only difference is location, right? So if we say it's no big deal to kill an unborn baby, well, why is it a big deal to kill a born baby? We have my daughter right now. Stay with me here a second. Our daughter Maggie, who's living with us right now while we get our housing situation finished here. Her little daughter Mia, who's – I always forget how old she is. Be quiet in case they're listening. Mia's 4 months, I think. Mia's at that age where she just – sometimes she wakes up in the middle of the night and she cries for an hour. She just wants somebody to come over and hold her, right? Selfish little creature. Well, I can see some people say, after a while getting sick and tired of that. Say, I've had it with that baby. So they take that baby and they throw it down on the floor. They throw it back against the bed. And then we all hear stories about this, right, of these babies that are been abused and they got head injuries now. Some of them die because the stepdad or somebody threw the baby down. Well, what's the big deal about it? This baby is totally messing up mom and dad's. They can't sleep. They slept fine till this thing came along. So this is the progression. This is the progression. Come on now. Keep going there, Jared.
Have their newborn babies killed because they are morally irrelevant and ending their lives is no different to an abortion. A group of medical ethicists linked to Oxford University has argued. This article published in the Journal of Medical Ethics says newborn babies are not actual persons and do not have a moral right to life. The academics also argue the parents should be able to have their babies killed if it turns out that to be disabled when it's born. Do you guys understand how much trouble we're in? Do you guys understand what all these videos were about? Well, you were doing them to make money. Well, yeah, that's a fun thing to say. But seeing how I didn't monetize until October of 2016 and it's already over, now what's the excuse? Do you see what I'm saying? Making videos like this is a mission. We were all pointing you to an end game. Guess what? It's here. It's absolutely here. This is horrific. People should be up in arms. And most people will look at this story like they look at every other story. Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. Moving on. You see what I mean? We are in a serious, serious moral deficit right now. And God is watching. And people that are not speaking up about this right now, you're going to have to stand before the man. Because I know I will. I know it's not going to be easy. If there's a holding cell or a purgatory or any of that crap, I'm sure I'll end up there. But guess what? I did my part, and I took the ridicule. I took the trolls. I took the loss of income and everything else that comes with it when you get to be to the point where I'm at right now. I've been censured for over a year. I am still unable to do live streams, and yet I'm in good standing. Can you do live streams? Most channels can. Remember when I used to do live streams with Gary Wayne, Anthony Patch, Josh Reeves, everybody else, Freeman Fly? Well, I'm not allowed to anymore, and YouTube still will not give me an answer as to why I can't. Because you know why? I've been right more than I've been wrong, and that's the problem. I wish I was totally wrong. I wish I was making videos about hiking, camping, off-roading, a lot of the different things that I actually enjoy instead of this. Do you see what I'm saying? We are in serious trouble. This is a real headline. Richie from Boston. Links will be in the description. I'm out.
Okay, Jared. So I want you crazy that we've kind of got a theme here this morning of death. And I don't want to concentrate so much on death, but I just want you to show how morbid, that's may not be the right word, how messed up we are as a country. Killing people on both ends of the spectrum. Church remains silent about it. See, the church is the moral guardrails. The church is oblivious to this, has no impact on any of this that's going on. Sarah put down her fourth term abortions. That's what a partial birth abortion is. We outlawed it, but it's okay to have a third term abortion. It's okay to have a second term abortion. It's okay to starve Terry Schiavo. I mean, right? So think about this now. Because of this whole thing of death, is somebody trying to get in here?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sarah.
A partial birth is not the same as a fourth term. Fourth term is live.
Oh, don't child. Even say it. Don't even say it.
Partial birth is the baby is viable to be survivable outside of the mother's womb. And they decide, you know, like late third trimester, and the baby could live. You know, just like my youngest was a 32-weeker. She was in an incubator for a long time, but she's thriving 20-year-old. Mm. But partial birth is that. And the fourth term is alive, breathing, giggling, laughing.
Wow.
Sitting on your lap, Grampy. Up to, and certain places, they want to keep that viable for up to a few months because maybe the parents can't afford it. It is a baby crying in the next room.
That's where we are, see? And the moral outrage is almost, you know, the scripture says that without natural affection, right? And it's all happening. All of it's happening with our approval. And you think about this, where is the moral outrage really of the church, of Christians? Where is the moral outrage? We found out Planned Parenthood was selling their body parts. That wasn't enough. Now we've got fourth term abortions. It's crazy. So here's what I want you to see. It's funny how the Lord puts things together. I'm going to talk about tomorrow. I'll save for tomorrow where I was going to go because the Lord just turned the sails a bit. Talking about Annie and their death and where Annie's gone and the process of death. And death to me on the outside, looking at Annie dying, is she's experiencing it, not me. I don't know what's going on there. And we've become so accepting of the fact that death is a part of life, that just is what it is, you know. Tragedies are tragedies. And we won't deal with the issues that really, really need to be dealt with. For instance, I don't know when the next mass killing is going to occur. I don't know when, I don't know where, but we know one's coming. 13 school kids are going to get shot someplace. Somebody's going to drive into a mall and blow up 100 people. Somebody's going to set off a bomb someplace and a bunch of people will die. And what's going to be the response? Can I give you the response? You ready, JR? Here's the moral outrage. A bunch of people will take flowers and they'll put it at the site it happened. Some will put signs, they'll plant signs of where it happened. Some people will write letters. Some people will get on Facebook and talk about how awful it is. Some people will say, pray for the victim. Some people will say whatever and say, how did it happen? Was it just a happenstance? Did that building just collapse on all of them? Oh, no. No, that building didn't collapse on them. A terrorist did it. But even though we might know that this could happen again someplace. And when it happens again, we'll get out our balloons and we'll get out our flowers and we'll get out our get well cards and we'll get out our signs. Even though we know that who did it and who's likely to do it again, well, Jesus loves everybody, and who are we to judge what another person might or might not do?
Dave.
And you would think, hang on a second, you would think in a sane society, we would stand up and say, enough of death already, enough of it. But because we haven't stood up and said enough of it, it comes in other forms, and we send flowers. That's all we do. Go ahead, Raj.
Well, I think if you would go back 100 years, 50 years, there was more, the individual family had more concern for the culture and society. Our concern today, immediate, selfish, our own families, our own people, our own blood. There, I don't get the sense when people hear of euthanasia and all those things, that's not really, they're not worried about the culture anymore.
No.
They're only worried about their mortgage payment, their two kids in college, getting a job. But there's no worry that I see of the overall culture. We have learned nothing of the incrementalism of this stuff. 30 years ago, we were talking about gay marriage. Nobody thought that. But there's not a concern for the culture, for society. It's for little junior who's in the third grade, your kid only, and you don't right. weigh in what they're going into.
Amen. But there's another connection. The other connection, which is just as devious and just as deadly, is this. Morality has become personal. I would never do it. I would never do it. But who am I to tell somebody else that they can't do it? Who am I? Now, guys, we know this, that during the Second World War, they interred. In other words, let's say it right. They locked up Japanese. They locked them up. And here we are. 60 years later and Jesus loves everybody, 70 years later, however long it's been, 70 years later and Jesus loves everybody, and we will not stand up and say, this group of people, we're going to have to deal with this group of people. And it's because this idea that all morality is the same, that there is no standard of truth, that truth has become personal, not universal. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, the idea that I can kill a baby because it's my choice, even though it might be wrong, the church won't even rise up and say, no, the standard, thou shalt not murder, that standard applies to everybody. That's what we're dealing with, see. Okay. And so we won't, yeah, just a second, we won't deal with the Islam issue because Jesus loves everybody and Jesus is nicer than everybody. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday that the New York Times presented its direction it's going, its page, that they are no longer going to condone or use the phrase female genital mutilation when talking about what Muslims do to their daughters.
Unbelievable.
But they're going to use a more, as they put it, accurate phrase of female genitalia cutting.
Wow. Larry, I can't remember where, I'm piggyback on top of that. I can't remember where I read it. Some news organization is not going to allow the use of the word homosexual anymore. They're not. So do we see what's going on, guys? Do we see what's going on when we talk about, when Michael Savage talks about border language culture, or when we as Americans talk about the Judeo-Christian culture, do we understand that that is in fact what's under attack? And that if we lose the Judeo-Christian, I take Judeo out, that's just what they've taught us to say. When you remove the Christian culture, look at the chaos that you have. The scripture tells us that when there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Here we are. Here we are. I saw a thing on today. I can't imagine this, Rich. I saw a thing of, you know how you get these things on Facebook? 40 women, teachers, who have been put in jail for having sex with students. 40. Guys, 20 years ago, that was unthinkable that a woman would have sex with a male student. Unthinkable. And now it's commonplace. It's common practice. And why is it? Two things. Number one, the idea of who am I to judge? Who am I to tell somebody else what they can do? And number two, moral relativism. Yes, that may be true to you, but that's not true to me. I would never abort a baby, but who am I to tell somebody else what they can do? And what if a baby's rape and incest? The Bill O'Reilly factor, the O'Reilly factor of what? Fair and balanced. Two sides. The spin stops here. The spin never stops. And as a result of it, even in the church, we have no grasp on truth anymore. And even if we do have a grasp on truth, we don't believe it to be universal. I had a guy call me yesterday, wants to do a, how do I say this? I sound like I'm puffed up. Follows what we do and wants to do, wants to follow and do like a little documentary on what we do. And he's asking me all these questions. And I'm telling him, listen, man, here's what the cultural war is all about. And I explained what I just explained. What's the standard of truth? How can two walk together unless they agree? How can we as Americans live together if your religion teaches it's okay to blow up people? I said, you can say what you want to about Fred Phelps and God hates fags. Can you show me one building they blew up? Can you show me any place that they went and killed anybody or destroyed anybody? But yet you'll call Fred Phelps an extremist, but you won't call the Muslim guys who are blowing people up extremists. And it's happened because there's no standard. We have no common standard anymore. And we would say to people, listen, you can come to America and you can be an American. We could say to every one of those Muslims, you can come here and be an American, but here's the truth. You're going to live by our standards. And here's what our standards are. You can be a Muslim here, but if you break these standards, you don't have the right to do that. Your demonic religion doesn't give you the right to do what is against the precept and principles of truth that this government was built upon. That is our problem. And so we have no moral standing in which we can stand up and say to somebody, you can't do that. How can a president, how can anybody stand up and say that America is great when we're murdering 500,000 babies a year? How can we possibly say that? But yet we're deluded. We're deluded. We're good people because we do this, and we're good people because we do this. Well, who says that's good? Well, what's the standard? Who makes the standard? Where does the standard come from? Fellas, that's a cultural war. That's the battle that's going on. Alan Key said something to me a long time ago, not dropping names, just telling you the truth. He said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among them are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Inalienable rights. Hear me. There is no constitutional permission to do wrong. Inalienable rights. You have the right to do right. You don't have the right to do wrong. And so all they did is came along and they changed the standard. And so nobody knows right from wrong anymore. Nobody. And we get selective prosecutions and this guy's arrested for something and this guy gets away with it. No standard of righteousness. And the Lord hates unjust weights and measures. That's why we're in the mess. I don't even know how I got here today. This is the issue. This is the issue. At what point? See, the church can't raise that standard because they don't have a standard. We see Methodists marrying lesbian bishops, ordaining them. The church has no standard. The church has adopted the salt of the world. Oh, my goodness. Help me out, JR. Somebody help me out.
Coach, I was thinking the other night that The progressive news media is just giving Fox News all kinds of dickens because they don't respect women. Now they'll do on the same program, they'll bring Serena Williams in,
yeah,
who is pregnant and not married. Mm. And they're complaining about they're lifting her up, using her as a good example, a woman who's pregnant without being married, yet they go after Fox.
And Jared, there's Isaiah 60 while I'm talking here. And JR, not only that, have you seen how those women on Fox dress? Are they trying to titillate you at all? And they dress like that, and if you say something to them, you are harassing them. Titillation, right? Right? That's a big setup, man. That's the biggest setup. I wonder if Anderson Cooper's propositioned any boys he's had on the show. How come we don't hear anything about that? Huh? Something evil going on. I want to show you something again. Am I doing okay today for flying solo the way I have? I really wasn't prepared. I'm in Isaiah. What did I say, Jared? Or is Isaiah 60? I'm sorry, Isaiah 59. Because I just want to show you again. See, America, Donald Trump can't make America great again. I got 9 minutes. I'll pull this off. Yes, sir. Kevin Savage claims it's soft porn. That's right. The way those women are dressed, he calls them the leg crossers. You cannot watch Fox News and not be impressed by how pretty their women are. I don't care who you are. They're pretty. And you turn on right now Fox and Friends or whatever that show is in the morning, and I guarantee you there's some leg crosser sitting right there on the couch showing all flesh. Probably doesn't have sleeves on. Probably showing as much flesh as she's legally allowed to follow and show. And then they get mad when you sexually harass her, say something in the workplace. Behold, Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. God can always do a work. That's what Isaiah is saying. You're never out of the reach of God. But your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That is something, isn't it? Do you ever get a picture of that? God hiding his face? What would that look like? Fingers in his ear, la 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 la. Is that what God's doing? He cannot hear? Because we know he can hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues muttered perverseness. Nobody calls for justice or anybody pleads for truth. I'm trying to. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief, bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of the egg dies, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. The web shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Stay with me. I'm going someplace. Their feet run to look at porn. They make haste to shed innocent blood. They've made themselves crooked paths, and whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Therefore, judgments turn far away from us. See, when judgment doesn't come, that's a bad thing. We should look at judgment as a good thing. Judgment gets us back online. And Isaiah's telling us here, judgment's not coming, man. That's bad. Therefore, judgment's far from us. Neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but we hide in the dark. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We're desolate places as dead men. Why? Because there's no judgment, see? Judgment is good. Judgment brings you back on course. We roar like bears. Mourn so like sore doves. We look for judgment, but there is none. For salvation, but it's far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before him. And our sins, they testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. And as for our sins, we know what they are. And in transgressing and lying against the Lord. How about that? Lying against the Lord. Saying the Lord said something when he didn't say it. Jesus loves everybody just the way they are. Jesus loves the homosexual and the pedophile. He just loves them all. And judgments turn away and justice standeth afar off. I'm in verse 14. If truth's fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yeah, truth fails. That's a statement right there. Truth faileth. And look, this is what I'm worried about, JR. This is the conversation I had with that guy called about wanting to do the documentary. I said, here's why I fight. You ready, Rich? Here's why I fight. Verse 15. Yeah, truth fails. And he that departeth from evil makes himself a prey. And if I'm teaching my grandchildren righteousness, I'm setting them up. Why am I setting them up? Because there ain't any judgment. And so I'm teaching them righteousness and judgment, and I'm setting them up because they're going to go into the world that doesn't receive that, and they become the prey. They're going to be the ones that are going to get, they're going to get done in. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. So once again, we've allowed the left and the church to somehow make judgment a bad thing when it is a righteous thing from the Lord, because judgment brings you back on course. That's wrong. That's right. Get on the right course. And the Lord says, I'm looking out across here now. Ain't nobody calling right from wrong. There isn't any judgment anywhere that I look. People are doing everything. Killing babies, talking about killing babies that have already been born, starving handicapped people to death, crazy stuff going on here, and there ain't no judgment. The church, hey, JR, the church is the one leading the battle. That who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? When, in fact, it is the job of the church and the job of the elect to judge. It's our job to point it out. That's the prophetic call. That's wrong. That's right. Stop doing that. That's evil, that's wicked, that's judgment, and that's healthy. And we're afraid to do it. Somebody wrap me up here. Boy, this wasn't where I was going at all today. How much time? Oh, yeah, 4 minutes. Somebody bail in.
Dave, watching that video, I can't help but to think, you know, until the church starts looking at wickedness, workers of iniquity, as morally irrelevant, I don't think we're going to get anywhere. I mean, they're just going unopposed.
So Rich, this guy who calls me yesterday, I told him he went to the March for Washington. You were there. He said, well, why would you do that, Coach? He said, there were, what, 500,000 of them and 25 or 26 of you? Why would you do that, Coach? I said, because somebody's got to tell them the truth. Somebody's got to tell them the truth. And I didn't go there for everybody to hear me, but I can tell you this, there are a lot of them that did. And if there were 500,000 more like us telling them the truth, bringing judgment, we wouldn't be in this mess. JR, listen, folks, don't miss this. Judgment is a good thing. It's a good thing. Judgment warns the wicked and brings life to the righteous. Judgment is a good thing. But see, remember, Jesus loves everybody. And so if you, like Jesus, you love your enemies and you don't judge them, and who are you to judge? You see the mess we're in? You see the mess that we're in? And Rich, hey, tell you this, brother. You're setting yourself up as a prey. They're going to come after you. I bumped into Pastor Bill yesterday. I didn't bump into him. I saw Pastor Bill yesterday and made some comment about, he's building a house, and made some off comment about the house. And he says, yeah, says you may get to spend some time in this before they throw you in jail. Now, he said it tongue in cheek, but it wasn't tongue in cheek to me. Why? Because I made myself a prey. I've already done it. I'm making myself a prey.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
It just hit me, you know, for those who think, and they truly believe, they've been brainwashed. They truly do, deep inside themselves, believe that God and Jesus love everybody as they are today.
And everything.
When the word does not say that. But I just say to those people, just look at the life and ministry of Jesus. He had opportunity to definitively, without a question, prove that he loves everybody the same when he went to the pool of Bethsaida. Yet he didn't heal them all. There was one person out of all of those sick people that he ministered to and healed. So he had the opportunity to prove that these people are, you know, that he loves everybody and treats everybody the same and all that. He had a chance to prove it. What he did is prove that he is very selective according to the guidance of the Father.
Great segue, Larry. Tomorrow, you tune in here, and I'm going to prove to you that God does not love everybody. Are you ready? Huh? His love's available, but he doesn't love everybody. Going to prove it to you right here tomorrow, Friday, the 20, whatever it is, of April. You don't want to miss it. God bless you all. Thanks for being out there. We'll see you tomorrow.